So if you got your email today on the update to the, or the reminder to the chapters that we're going to be reviewing, I apologize for the first one going out wrong. Last week's went out right, then this one went out wrong. So we got that correction out there, thanks to Wilson and his give me a quick call and let me know that I got the wrong chapter mentioned. But if you're looking at chapter 4 and chapter 8, you've been reading the right one. So sorry I caused a little confusion on that today. Now, why are we doing chapter 4 and chapter 8 and skipping all those in between? Well, I'm not skipping those in between. It's just that as I'd read through this book way back when, I felt like these two went together well. And the reading scriptures well, if you've read that chapter, and you might recognize that the author was really speaking a lot about reading chapters well and your role in a worship service and men that do that, and so we're going to talk about that. But in addition to that, though, I want to spend a lot of time in this chapter talking about reading scriptures well, the application for all of us. This is not just the men's in a worship service effort, but any time that we would be reading scriptures, the goal of reading scriptures well, if we were in a Bible study with someone, if you're in the ladies' class and you're the one who's teaching that class, or you're the one who's been asked to read some scriptures for that class, it all applies. This chapter, take that and apply that to each and every one of us in those different types of works that we might be involved in. That when we read our scriptures, we want to recognize that there's a reason that we have this blessing, and that we should read it with that recognition that this is our gift to have this, to refer to learn from. And as we're teaching someone, we want to use all the skills and communication abilities that we have to make sure that that is done well. And so looking at this chapter 4, reading scriptures well, and I'm not pretending to say that as these authors put this together, or the editor put all these lessons together, I'm not pretending to say that I had a better idea on how to make this work, not in a book, and it flows like it does as well as it does in the book. But for us, for our use, for our purpose, I felt like that this would go well together. To read scripture well, and then follow that with listening well. Excuse me. So, it's important for us to know, just like it says on that slide, that this is a practice taught in the scriptures, and that both expresses and at the same time enriches our faith, the reading of our scriptures. Excuse me. Now, if you read this chapter, you know that one of the things that the author talks about is not just throwing a bunch of scriptures out there right in the beginning of class and asking people to read it who are unprepared. Or coming to worship and you're the guy that's got the scripture reading and you come unprepared. Absolutely, no, we want to avoid that. But I'm going to list these three taken from our text in our chapter, because we've had the time to read the chapter and look at these verses. And so I'm going to say these three as a reminder of the importance of these three verses and what we'll take from those three verses and how that would apply whether you are reading in that worship service or whether you are reading in a Bible study. And so same purpose for teaching both in private and in public. By all, it should be remembered that it's make an impression on the affection and the memory of all who will listen. And, you know, I know growing up, you know, I had memory verses and would study those memory verses and have those memorized for Sunday morning Bible class. And then, a week or two later, I kind of remembered half of that verse and I'd have to go back and refresh my memory. But as time went by and I grew in my understanding of why that verse was important, why the instructor thought, the teacher thought that was important, began to remember the whole verse. And so it wasn't just reading it and then I got it from now on, but it was something that was familiar to me because of the impression that was made on me the first time that it was read to me, or the time that I was asked to memorize it. And I'm thankful to those people who were those teachers in those times. And you'll never hear me stand up here and begin the announcements on a Wednesday night and not begin with thanking all those teachers. Because that work is that's why we're here, isn't it? It's paramount. We've come here to study God's Word. We've got our children in class studying God's Word. They've come prepared with their lessons, and so should we as we look at this lesson we have in front of us tonight. And if you've got your book or this handout just passed out, you want to turn the pages with me. I don't want to leave anything out, but we do have a clock running up there, and I do want to get through both of those. But I want to take the time to answer any questions that you have, or if when you did your study at home, you made some notes that you felt like needed to be impressed on us as well in a conversation or a question, please raise your hand. Feel free to ask that. But I'll specifically want to look at this on this very first page. It tells us about when we have in Scripture, what we have in our Scriptures is that it's a letter from God for us, and that we read it and we listen. And if we do, then we do that well. And in that second paragraph, on the very first page of this, read Scripture as well, there's a reference there to that Nehemiah chapter 8, and it gives us a dramatic account of God's people listening to God's law. It says they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Nehemiah 8, in verse 8. And so they did this clearly. And so as I read through that scripture, and one of the things the author correctly says is, hey, don't just blow through a scripture too fast and just read over it without any inflection of those types of things. Say it with some meaning and with some heart. That I want to emphasize that they heard it clearly. And they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And so, does that verse sound familiar? You see that verse anywhere else? It's something we have found that verse to be very important. And I'm intrigued that it happens to find its way into the first page of this study. Where is that place that you see that verse utilized? Doug knows. It's on the bulletin. It's called The Sense. And very thankful for that work and the men that do that work and putting that together and doing such a good job and making that point from the time that we began to even look at that bulletin, that this is a message this week we want you to pay attention to focus on these things within this bulletin, this message, whether brief or two pages or not, but to get the sense so that the people understood what they were reading. And those are the places where that begins. Wilson, you had your hand up.
When you read this chapter of Nehemiah, you'll find out that he started reading in the morning. These people stood the whole time, and he read until midday.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything like that.
Right.
But just to think what a dedication those people had to the Word.
Right. And it began early and went to midday. And you just skipped all 13 pages. That was the point I was going to make at the end. But they were listening that long and that well. And so we should have that ability. And for those on Zoom, I apologize if I step away. You might not see me for a second, but I'll be back. But hope you can hear me. But what Wilson was saying was that at that, they began that listening early in those verses in Nehemiah. And it's going to be from not just chapter 8, but in verse 8, but verse 4 and on up to 12, I think, is included in these two lessons. One of the reasons why I want to get through both of them together. But just for a second, let's talk about that effort of leading the scripture reading in the worship service. And we take that seriously, and absolutely we do take that seriously. And I want to talk about the work specifically here on the first day of the week in this assembly, you will hear a guy read the scriptures, and I'm telling you, we take that seriously, and that man will be prepared. That I believe it's on Thursday, he got a text that reminded him that he's the guy who has the scripture reading this coming Lord's Day. And that person works with Drew to determine what that, to learn what that scripture is, and so they're prepared. Now, you know, sometimes you might think, with hey, every perfect plan can have a kind of have a hiccup, or the wheel might fall off. But Steve sometimes has to find somebody because the person who is going to do that's not available. But everyone who reads knows that they have that responsibility to read those scriptures well, and he knows who to ask to know to get that done. The other thing, though, is I know that if you'll notice that, at least I've noticed, and now that I've read this chapter, I've noticed it even more so. We all know what a blessing that we have in Drew, but you don't just get one verse. And when I read through this this chapter in this lesson, it was the, and there's a reason for that. You want to get the whole understanding of that verse. You can't just pick a verse out because you may end up being out of context, or even thought of as being out of context. But we get that those readings that have that meaning behind them, and I appreciate that and that work. And so thank you to all that are involved in that. And it's not something that just happens. Gary had his hand up. Exactly. And if you didn't hear that, what Gary was saying, that we have to go at this. This is God's word that we are reading, we're absorbing, and we have to have respect for that, and we approach that with the right attitude about that, and also with the intent to understand what that scripture says. And this is our opportunity to learn and to grow when we do that. I see another hand. Something that I'm over on page 37 if you're in your book. Let's go over to page 37. If we don't do well, whether it's in our home Bible study or if it's in our group Bible study, if it's in a class, or even if it happens that we don't do that well in our assembly, then people who assemble would need to hear and understand if we don't do that well, then we need to work on that. We need to recognize that this is an area that is not optional. We must be improving upon that. Something like, but even greater, ought to occur in the assembly of Christians today. When we're reading, we have in Scripture a letter from God, just as Gary said. The way we read it and listen to it should reveal our love for God and His Word. So we should do it well. And we should not have any mediocrity involved. Go back to that very first chapter. One of the things we talked about, being concerned about, is not being mediocre and having mediocrity in our worship or our approach to our worship. And so, same thing as we're readers, any time, not just in our assembly and our worship assembly, but any time that we're reading the scriptures, not approach that with mediocrity. To be sincere and listen to God's word. It takes a commitment as we read, and that we, I said, have that right attitude or that right approach. But it also takes a commitment to we involve our heart, and that we think about tethering our minds to our heart as we are reading through that scriptures. And listen to what the Bible has to say. As you're reading and listening, if it's a struggle that you have to really kind of grasp, was this a good thing that's happening, a bad thing that was happening, and has that ever happened to you? And you can get four or five verses into a chapter and wonder, you know, am I reading about something that's a good thing to be doing, or was it going, I'm going to get to that verse where this was a bad example. And that it's important to keep studying and grasp that whole meaning, which often means you've got to read the whole chapter. And you can't very often just take one verse out of a chapter. You can't, for certain, can't take one verse out of this chapter, a verse out of another chapter, put 35 of them together and call it a sermon. What'll happen? You're destined to have pulled something out of context, right? Utilize some verse that out of context. And besides that, you know, it's is that what was how things were taught? Do we have that as an example? And the answer to that is no. But you know, it's you've heard people read scripture. Some people read scripture and they add that inflection, and they've studied that scripture and they know right when that comma's coming up. You can just tell that they know that one well, and they do really well. And I don't want to name names, but we have, you know people that here that do that and do it very well. And I know they've read that scripture to know that, or maybe read that whole chapter. But one thing that helps me is that often whenever I'm studying, I'm listening. Not the guy reading. I'm not the one reading, but listening. Eva likes to study listening to it, an audio version of the Bible, and she'll have a chapter that we're listening to. And I never did that very much. I would sit down and pull out my Bible and read until she started using that a lot. And listening to that audio version, oftentimes you hear they've got that inflection. They've got that pause where that comma was, and it makes a difference. It matters to me. And I would suggest that you might try that. And Rob. Yep.
Yeah. But not only that, but just to, so I can again approach it. It's holy. I want my actions and my behavior toward it to show that I believe it's holy. I want my daughters to see that I believe it's holy. I want my wife to see that I believe it's sacred. And I think that's fine.
Absolutely. That preparation. For me, you know, I read over again. Oftentimes, to be sure that I get it, and then I often, well, I'll get to this in a little bit, you know, a few pages later. But I look at other versions. You know, I like to read from the New King James Version, and. But then if you flip over to the New American Standard and read that, and then the English Standard Version, that I like to look at different versions on some of these things, and that it helps me to understand. And I saw another hand back there. Ron.
One thing that you can also do is when you're reading the scripture, not just with your eyes, but with your mouth.
Exactly, and that using, we're going to get into that in listening, the part about, in the chapter dealing with listening well, but use all of those things that we have available to us. But as we read and as we teach, we want to be certain that we communicate that message and that it's not just a result of me getting the scripture read and then saying, well, so I taught that. So they heard that, they got taught that. But you can't make somebody understand it. You can only make certain that they've heard it. And so how do they grasp it? What is really most effective in them grasping that that scripture reading? Anybody? What's most effective to you? You're studying with someone. Wilson?
The way they present themselves, they don't give you the thought that he don't know what he's talking about. They present themselves in a way that you understand what's coming out of his mouth. And you know how to perceive how it will affect you. Or if you stand up there and you mumble and you've got your head down all the time and people don't understand what you're saying, then they're not gonna understand. They can't. I'm getting ahead of it, but at the very bottom of this lesson here, there's a saying that I've never heard it before, but it says
what page are you on?
It's on page 41.
Let's go to page 41.
Stand like Lincoln. Mm-hmm. In other words, have a voice that they can hear and stand up proudly, be able to present it. We ought to be proud when we're reading God's word.
Well, if I could, for those on Zoom, if I can sum up what Wilson was just saying there, correct me if I leave anything out, but be proud of what you're saying, what you're teaching me. You're speaking about God's word. This is not to mean come across like the authority, but come across as this is God's word. And this is just that simple. This is what it says, and that's what we will be following. And now, reading and speaking, and I'm talking about, to others, not in an assembly, but in a Bible study, or maybe you have traveled well. Even around this country, you don't have to get out of this country to find that there's some cultural things that can occur in our conversations and studies that can change your receptiveness or your even ability to listen well. It can be distractions, if you will. I can give you an example of this, that what I'm getting at is I went to the National Fire Academy many years ago. And this is from departments from all over the country, Sandal and National Fire Academy, and you have a lot of different cultural diversity, and you have a lot of different communication skills, and you have guys from the South talking to guys from Rochester, New York. And that takes some work to listen and communicate. But to work together on projects that we had, it really was an effort. For me, it was a real learning experience, how hard I had to listen. And likewise, the difference would be that I don't speak real fast. I don't talk fast. And that, that's kind of a Southern thing, but I don't blame that. That's just me as well. But particularly in our class, we had guys from West New York City and some guys from Rochester, New York, And I would listen to them explaining or talking about something, and it'd take me a couple minutes later to absorb all that, to sort that all through. And then likewise, if they're listening to me talk, they want to finish my sentences. But you can have that same experience when you're teaching someone. Have you had that experience, I should say? And to make that work, though, we come back to the roots of, to the groundwork here, and that's what this is God's word. It that we can communicate it by reading it and speaking it and listening, and it doesn't change. And one of the things that I learned as well in traveling to England, went to visit my daughter in England and Church of Christ there in Oxford, Oxford, England. And I felt like my family was the only one speaking English. But you know, they had to feel like these people don't speak in English, these people from Oklahoma. But it was one of the best classes I believe I've ever sat through. It was one of the best song services I believe I've ever sat through. About 15 or 20 people, and there wasn't really anyone there that were English. They were from all over the globe, and this is where they lived, and it was either because of university, either working there or going there, or that's just how it was there. But you had to really listen. So when I think about when someone's reading the scriptures, or when Drew's speaking in his sermon, if I listen that hard and think about what he's saying, that is so, it's one of the best lessons I ever have. It was the same thing. The gentleman that preached and sang, did both jobs there at Oxford's name was Monday. And I'll never forget that. And so that's on me. We're going to get into that when we start talking about listening here in a minute. So what can be the result of reading God's word well? I'm on page 40. What can be the result of reading God's word well? Great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Back to that Nehemiah in chapter 8, this little excerpt comes from that. Great rejoicing was a result of reading God's word well, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Nehemiah 8 and verse 12. And I'm going to leave that chapter now unless you have any questions or any other comments on that, reading our scriptures well. If you fill out your questions or got something noted in your questions that you really had a question about or you wanted to make point of, anybody got something to add there? If not, let's move over to chapter 8. Listen well. Appreciate the author giving us this example. He has done all things. Mark 7, 36 and 37. He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. We know that we're reading scriptures well, and here we're talking about doing things well and making certain that they could hear and even the mute to speak there in Mark. And that should sound familiar to us as well. Jesus doing all things well. And that first paragraph on this beginning of this lesson, he says, he has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And this passage, though, inspired Fanny J. Crosby in 1875 to write these lyrics in the well-known hymn, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." And, you know, we sing that often. And for us to hear well is paramount. And so we talk about this leading scripture, reading scriptures well, and we skipped over a lot about talking about the preacher's efforts and his responsibilities to make certain that he's getting that message across. And, you know, we hold our preachers up there, and we have an expectation that we're going to get a good sermon this morning. But there is an equal, if not more so, expectation for us to listen and to get out of that message what is intended. Same way in our classes, you know, come prepared. And if you've got a book, you know, study the book, use the book, study with someone about that, and come prepared. We have an interest in each of you. I'm talking about, unless you can speak for the elders and say, we have an interest in you and the material that we're studying when we come to our classes, and we want you to be prepared. We want you to have that class and then gain from that class and grow from that class and that material. And I hope that you'll be able to do that even more so when you have a book and at your leisure and have the time to read through that and understand alike, because we want to be like-minded on these subjects. But what about the responsibility of the church toward the preaching of the gospel? We should want to listen well, the author here says. Just like it says in Matthew 11 and 15, that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And just like those disciples, we should also want to hear and to be determined to listen well. There's a responsibility for, if there's a responsibility for the speaker to read those scriptures well and to teach those scriptures well, then we have a responsibility to listen and to hear. And so what is involved in listening well? I'm on page 72. But like the example used in that last paragraph about the Bereans, and what, somebody comment on that or share with us, what was it that they were doing so well that he mentions in this paragraph? Just sum that up for us. The Bereans were searching the scriptures to be certain that they were, that they had it well. And so there is that example of what they were doing. And they received the word, it says, with great eagerness and examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's our purpose in hearing it, but examining it and seeing that these things are so. You know, don't take my word for it. If I've quoted some scripture, I refer to some scripture, don't take my word for it. Turn to that scripture. When the preacher is speaking and he cites some scriptures, you know, we need to follow up on that and to check that and to see. And we're going to get to that, turning the pages of your Bible now as we turn the page of our book to page 73. And that second paragraph says, people need to know, no, excuse me, people need to come to our services with the Bibles. When it's time for the preaching to begin and we're sitting down there in our pews, if we have those children with us, what do you want them to see? We insist on and we expect that those children are right in here with us, don't we? And what is it that we want them to see? Anyone?
Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, there's no substitute for me. I'm talking to myself. There's no substitute for having God's written word on my lap too, and flipping those pages, because somebody next to me might not know what I'm doing on my cell phone. They might think I have a pretty good game of solitaire. I can tell you I don't. But if I'm looking at my phone, probably because I'm looking up the Greek or trying to chase something down. But I want the kids to see me.
That's right. We want them to see us utilizing our Bible, following along with those scriptures. It shows that you're listening well. You know, and I wanted my children to listen well. I was trying to listen well, and I didn't want any interruptions from me listening well and them not listening well or misbehaving. And so I think the same thing for my grandchildren. I want them to be listening well and to be able to sit in here and at least grasp that what is it that you're trying to listen to? Pablo's trying to listen to something out of that book that the preacher's talking about. And have you had that experience where you had the opportunity to hand your nephew or your niece or your own child or a grandchild or someone, to hand them that first Bible, a little child-sized Bible, or maybe they came out of class with one, and how excited they are to have their own, even though they have no clue what's in there. But they have what you have. When you find that important, they'll find that important, having that Bible. and being able to reference it. And now I want to go on to say that it's also, the author says, that it's also important for the visitors to see that. You know, if a visitor comes in and hasn't had that experience of growing up and coming and sitting in a Bible class and learning how to utilize the Bible, or what's the purpose of it, or what's the importance of it, you know, there's one in the back of that pew that they could grab, and they could find that scripture that you're referencing and follow along and learn to do that. And that, I'm thankful that we have those in the back of the pew. But I also always appreciate that when the preachers mention the verse that they're talking about, and they take the time for you to get there and to look at that, and for that person that's not that familiar with where that letter might be, that they have the time to find it. And I'm reminded, and I don't stand up here and tell you stories and use my last 5 minutes, but I'm reminded of a young man who came here for at least a couple of years that I knew of, and in a gospel meeting, the preacher referenced his scriptures, and he took one of those Bibles out of the back of that pew, and when he referenced that scripture, he also said, on page 37 of your pew Bible. And that young man, after being here a couple of years, and I know he was studying at home with his father-in-law, but he followed throughout that sermon, turning to those pages. And at the end of all that, he was baptized. That's how he learned. It took him hearing, by him reading and deciding for himself. You can't tell somebody how to get there. They have to hear it, don't they? And obey it right there from the heart. Their heart's pricked. And I'm going to waste my last 5 minutes, but telling stories. I can tell you that just recently, I was thrilled to hear someone tell me that they were committed to coming to Bible class and coming to worship more often and hearing those lessons and those sermons, but especially going to be there for Bible class, because I listened to what Drew said. I heard his sermon today, and it was pricked in the heart. And I'm thankful for all those involved that make that happen and recognize that that's what's needed. Now, I'm not throwing you under the bus. If you choose to use an electronic device instead of that Bible that you turn the pages with, it, there was a point, it's been a couple of years, several years ago now, and I decided that I'm going to make myself learn to use that electronic device. And I'm going to make myself add one of these Bible apps, and I'm going to make myself look up scriptures that way. And I found that there were some advantages for me, and I found that there were some distractions for me. And the advantages were I could very quickly get to a verse and another version and another version, and or I could get to several versions and keep one up on the screen while I've got another one on the screen and do some comparing side by side. And those were advantages to me in those moments and those types of studies. The disadvantages was that there's times that I just, like the author says here, I just need to unplug. I don't need that technology connection. And I find myself more and more, I want to turn the pages and follow Drew's sermon. I'm sorry, Drew, I just keep talking about it, guys. But follow whoever that speaker is and get what they're saying. Does that make sense? And
there's an added benefit for me too. I mean, in flipping page, and I'll just say this, I found, and I don't know if you've ever, anybody else has ever experienced this, but changing Bibles is one of the hardest things for me to do, because you learn where the scriptures are on the page that you're looking for. And I find when I change to a new Bible, I'm looking at one part of the page because I know that verse is going to be there.
Yep.
And it's not there.
Yep.
It's
That's right. And same experience, Rob, as I tried to get away from using that book, that when I would listen to the sermon and I hear something taught and I know a scripture brings that to mind, I could see it in my mind. It was on the lower right-hand part of the page, but it ain't there on that technology device. And And so I had to search anyway. Wilson had his hand up.
Remember back some time ago that Drew misplaced his Bible that he had had for years.
Yeah.
And he'll agree with what God's saying. That is a horrible feeling to lose that one piece that you know so. And he was just like a kid on Christmas morning when he found that Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, and mine's about, I haven't had to rebind this one, but I did that on the previous one several times, and I've still got it. And there's times that I know where that one's at, when I can't find a verse here. Wilson Waugh pointed at his heart, and we were talking about where things come from. And I just flipped over to page 75 in your workbook, but to talk about that last little paragraph there, where he talks about the receptive heart. We want to be certain that we have that receptive heart as we're studying, as we're listening, that we have that receptive heart, and so that we're listening well, and it's not just having ears to hear with, but it is also a heart issue, that we've got to have that receptive heart. And so that when we hear that this, and Rob used these very words earlier in a conversation, that if you have an honest heart. And when you honestly ask yourself, you listen to those scriptures, if you're hearing it with an honest heart, you'll hear yourself asking yourself, does this apply to me? And I'm not looking around the room and thinking of who it applies to, but does this apply to me? And when you realize it applies to me, then that honest heart is when you're pricked in the heart. And that's when we make change. That's how we can affect change. If we read our scriptures well, we put those things that we've just read through that chapter, not so much what I rambled on about, but read those verses well and listen to those verses and listen to someone when you're studying with them. Listen to that in that worship assembly. So much of the time in our worship assembly, we're spent listening to teaching from our songs or listening to teaching from the man talking about the Lord's Supper, or listening to Drew or our speaker. Listen well with an honest heart. David had an end.
One thing about Scripture, it was originally intended to be listened to. Not everybody had Scripture. They had a letter that came to that church or that person.
Right. Right.
And to follow in that part. So I'm all for technology because I do the same because I'm trying to learn the same thing. But the one thing that listening does, it slows us down. You know, when I can read pretty fast. But if I'm listening, that's a mercy of somebody else.
That's right.
And listening to their words.
That's right. And I'm all in on that. Wilson talked about a little bit earlier ago, and the bell rang. I heard that with BMI was talking about, and they came together early in the morning, and it was late to midday in the afternoon that they were still at it, still listening, and I'm excited on the Lord's Day to be able to be here from the beginning until the end. And if you notice, we post a start time, but we don't post an end time. And I hope that you can appreciate the more time we can commit and be here and be involved in with one another and listening to His Word, that the much better we will all be for it. And thank you for your time.
Steve, may I say one
thing? Yep.
You know, when we're studying books like this, we're supposed to get something out of what's being said in this book. You know, it hit me about 29 on the very last page of page 76.
Page 76 of the book.
It said that is it doing the person that might be sitting next to you that might be ready to go, or somebody that's behind you, and they hear you zipping your Bible to them,
yeah,
or get your songbook out?
Yeah.
I'm guilty, and I confess.
Yeah.
Please forgive me.
Yeah. Well, that last part of that chapter we'll revisit in our next study and talk about that invitation and listening well all the way to the end. Thank you for your time.